I'm not having a glass of wine. I'm having six. It's called a tasting, and it's classy.
Oh, guess who's back? Back again. Back. I actually don't know the words to that song. Tell a friend.
He's back. He literally says his name.
No, there's a version. Back. Isn't there a version that's not an Eminem version?
Not that I want to know.
Not that I want to know. All right. So for those of you who were smart enough to follow us when we were dudes drinking and talking, or my solo show, Two Beers with Nathan, this is Beards and Beer. I don't think either of us are drinking
beards. Beards and beers. Beers is plural. Beards and beers, both plural.
So two S's, the SS?
SS, beards and beers.
Ooh, the SS, that's a tough look for our first minute into podcasting.
You done did it. I'm not the one hosting right now. I should maybe be the host. Maybe we should have just totally changed roles here.
You came up with that name, and it has a real white supremacy vibe to it.
Why?
The SS? The secret whatevers? Hitler's, like, goons?
Beards and beards? Just because it has two plurals means it's Nazi-esque? What is wrong with you? That's a you problem. You better fix yourself.
I don't know. Remember that time that you told me all those good things Hitler did? Anyway.
That's not true.
Welcome back. Not welcome back. Welcome to the first episode of Beards and Beers. Quick history.
Who are you? You gotta explain who you are.
I just said quick history.
Oh.
Yeah, dude, that was the Wikipedia first paragraph. By the
quickest,
way,
have you donated history, Wikipedia? Nothing's changed. No, yeah. Fuck no.
One of these days.
I barely donate at Walmart when I've got like 2 cents left. They're like, you want to donate to like whatever their cause is that week? And I'm like, no, well, I don't.
That's because they ask for a dollar, man. That's where Panda does it right, where they ask, do you want to round up to donate? Yeah, 7 cents, that's fine.
No, Walmart did the same thing, and I was still like, nah.
I didn't know Walmart was up to that now. So, this is Beards and Beers, Caleb and I's essential third foray into podcasting. Caleb, why don't you tell them about what we started off as dudes drinking and talking?
We started out as dudes drinking and talking. We lived in the same town. It was a lot easier for us to get together. Nathan would come over to my little in-home studio. We would do our thing. And then I moved far, far away, and I live in this little tiny town, many moons away from Nathan now. So now we have a whole new dynamic, the way that we do things, completely remote. It's kind of cool. But yeah, so since that happened, we decided that we're going to do a whole new vibe, whole new take on it. We want to change our persona, change our character a little bit. I'm still the cool one. Don't worry about it. And yeah, it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time. It basically the show breakdown is exactly the same as what DDT was. We're a show about nothing. We like to talk about things that you like to talk about. We like to throw in fantasy football. Now that that's very relevant. We like to talk about wrestling. We like to talk about pop culture. We like to talk about booties. You know, whatever we're feeling for that day, we're going to talk about it. You're going to enjoy it. Maybe you won't, but maybe you know someone that will. That's what we are here at Beards and Beers, baby.
Yeah. And my solo YouTube show and podcast was canceled because of ETP, Extremely Trash and Trashy Person.
ETP. Fuck yeah. ETP.
Well, out there just being all types of garbage. So we decided to, exactly what K-Bob just said, get back in this with a little more experience.
There's my wife. You see her in the background?
Humble brag. Caleb's married. We're going forward with that, and that's what's up. What else is up is the new Joker movie.
Let's go. That looks so good.
So I had some friends stop by 30 minutes ago, and they saw
it. You don't have any friends?
I had... Yeah, fuck you, I got friends. They stopped by, and they gave me kind of a rundown. And I normally have a similar No, you know what? No, I don't. I don't have similar opinions to them, because one time they made me watch The Man with the Iron Fist and said it was good and it was complete trash.
I don't even know what the fuck that is.
Dude, it was a movie that RZA from Wu-Tang Clan made with Batista.
I can tell you that was bad by the fucking cast list right there.
Oh, yeah, dude. It was not good. But anyway, they told me, that, it was good, sympathetic. But they did say, you know, it's not exactly like have to see in a theater good. So I'm on the fence on if I'll make the effort to see it in theaters.
Really? See, because that I'm not a theater goer and you are. Yep. But that is one that I was literally like, you know what? I would go to a theater and watch that because it looks so good. And I mean, everybody's so intrigued by this Joker character, especially since Heath Ledger made it so, iconic. What it is. You know what I mean? Exactly. So then all of a sudden, Jared Leto was held to this standard and he didn't own up to it in some eyes. In a lot of eyes, he did. And what is this guy's name?
Dude, no one can say his first name.
It's... I don't know, dude, but he's crazy as fuck. Like, I've seen him in different interviews back in the day. He's, like, straight up crazy. They could not have casted anybody better to do this. And by the looks of the previews, I mean, and I get it. They show all the good stuff in the previews. This shit looks good.
Yeah, I got a feeling that there's going to be a lot of things in this movie that we haven't seen in the previews, just because it has such a dark tone to it. I think anytime you could add a talent like Robert Downey Jr., Joaquin Phoenix, or however the fuck you say his name to a movie.
And it's Bobby De Niro, let's go.
Bobby De Niro, yeah.
Let's go, man. Come on. Any movie, have you seen a movie of his that you didn't like? Let me just ask you that. Have you ever seen a Robert De Niro flick that you didn't like? And I'm going back to like Raging Bull, man. Ooh. I've never seen a movie of his that I don't like. Meet the Parents, maybe.
The sequels the best weren't movie. Good.
That's not his fault. He wasn't even like, he was more of like a cameo type play in those ones. What?
Dirty Grandpa with Zac Efron, Man Rocket. That movie's hysterical.
Oh, man. Every time I see a movie with Zac Efron, I feel like I need to work out more. And it's always up. I really do. It's okay. He's such a good looking dude.
Dude, Robert De Niro killed on the roast of Alec Baldwin. Did you catch any of that?
I caught it. I didn't catch his part in it, but I caught him getting roasted. Dude, that was a great roast. I mean, I haven't seen a roast I don't like either. I'm sure they're out there.
I think a lot of the roasts, you know, you get a couple people who don't perform good or well. That's some great English. Like, I remember the Rob Lowe one. They brought in some, like, super Republican white chick, and everyone went hard on her, but she wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
She didn't want to do any of the jokes that Tony Hinchcliffe had written for her and stuff. Shit,
what's her name? Tommy something?
No, that's the hot one. This was
the skeleton-looking one. Yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Anyways,
dude, Tommy chick, though, dude, she gets some of the worst 17 seconds of her life from me.
Oh, for sure. She's cute.
Yeah. Dude, speaking of comedy, man, we go with that Bert Kreischer show and the Pabst Theater. No, where do we see that?
The Orpheum.
At the Orpheum Theater, man.
The Orpheum, which is a fucking scary-ass venue, man. Like, that is where nightmares are made of right there. That is a theater that has not been updated since, like, 1783. I'm pretty sure Lincoln was assassinated there. But fucking great show that they had going on at that venue, man. That was a fucking great show. And you told me something funny about who was sweeping the floor. Shafir. That's so cool. Like, so what's it? Tell me the story. Like, what happened?
Okay, so Bert Kreischer, he's out there doing his Body Shots World Tour. He's up there as one of the top comedians on Netflix and stuff. And he's good buddies with another comedian, Ari Shafir, who's pretty famous, and you follow comedy. He started the show This Is Not Happening. He's been in some other stuff, but he's not quite up there Netflix level of, you know, a Bert Kreischer, a Joe Rogan. God, no one's as big as Joe Rogan in comedy except for maybe Chappelle. But anyway, Ari Shafir was playing at the local comedy club while Bert was at the theater. So Ari Shafir came out and swept the stage to kind of just, like, essentially tease him on how, like, you're way more famous. People don't know who I am, because Bert's a pretty humble guy. Like, even though he's been on TLC, for some Travel Channel, Comedy Central, etc. Like, still is just like, no, people know you. People only know me from being on Rogan. And it was just kind of funny because when he came out, I said something. I'm like, was that so-and-so? That was weird. And finding out that was the case was pretty cool. But, yeah,
it's pretty funny.
He fucking burned it down.
Oh, man, he burned it down. Seth Rollins, I like the reference. Yo, yeah. he really brought it. And I thought he was so funny. I admittedly only watched one Netflix special of his before we went to the show, and I thought it was funny. I did not think he was as funny as Tom Segura, which is one of his other buddies in cohorts in comedy.
Yeah, they're best friends. They got a very funny podcast, Two Bears One Cave.
Great podcast. They do like one a month. Really funny. Check it out. But anyways, I checked out his series, and I was like, he's funny. He reminded me a lot of you. It's because he's just this drunk guy that likes to take off his shirt, which I'm sure you'll get to that point. I just saw you took off your robe. But yeah, he really fucking threw it down, man. I was laughing hysterically the entire time, start to finish. And his opener was pretty good, too. I don't remember who that was. I don't even think we can plug him. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I'll say this, man. And we're going to see... we're recording this 1 week before we go see probably my favorite active comedian right now, Theo Von, next week, also in Madison.
Oh, man. He's
Dark
got
Arts
such,
Tour. Fucking
I'm
excited.
I'm so stoked about that one, man. That's going to be a good one.
But yeah, Burt killed it. I think that it's just reminded me, too, that like the show, when you're there, that vibe in the room, it beats a special anytime.
It really does. It really does. Being there and watching someone do their art, and it's the same thing as a concert. You know, like, you can go on YouTube and you can look up these live performances, but when you're there and you've got the vibe of just being there and watching someone do their art, it is so different. It's a whole new dynamic. Netflix series don't do it justice. You got to be there.
I totally agree. Like, Theo's Netflix special, no offense, actually, I don't think is very good. But, you know, talking about a podcast similar to ours, The King and the Sting, hilarious with him and Brendan Schaub. And
oh,
then just
dude,
other times
Schaub
you see him
so
just
fucking funny.
Themselves.
Which one of us would be, so let's fucking, like, which one of us would be Brendan Schaub and which one of us would be Theo Von? Which one would be which?
I actually think you'd be Brendan.
I agree. He's a lot better looking.
So... and I'll give you a couple reasons. I would say you're Brendan because, yeah, you are better looking. You're younger. Schaub also does a lot of stuff with UFC. He does a food truck show, too. He was a fighter in the UFC first. Like, he's got his hands
just like
a lot.
Me.
He's yeah,
just
he's
like
got
me.
His hands in, like, a lot of stuff, just like you, where Theo's been pretty much comedy guy. Really lived some weird life, had some drinking and drug issues, and just is more cold and mean than Brendan. And I think that's a little more in my wheelhouse.
So you're Theo minus the mullet and the funniness.
Yeah, and,
for sure.
So, but yeah, man, I'm excited for that show. Obviously,
it's gonna be a good show. We'll report back on that one. Yeah, we'll report back on that one. We're going to see that one on Sunday. We're recording this on a Saturday. We're going to see that one next Sunday. We might do another episode before then. I don't know when this one's going to drop, but we'll definitely report back on that one. And if you don't know who Theo Von is, you better check it out, man. He's pretty fucking funny. He's funny, dude. And check out that podcast, too.
Yeah, check out. He's got his own solo podcast called This Past Weekend. Just drops twice a week. King and the Sting is once a week. And then Brendan Schaub also does a podcast called The Fighter in the Kid with Brian Callen. That's also very funny.
Super funny. So, let me throw you a curveball real quick. All right. You remember the game, Fuck, Kill, Marry?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, man. I got a good one for you. This is Fuck, Kill, Marry. I want to do this maybe on every single podcast and change up the category. So this is Fuck, Kill, Marry. This is going to be movie edition. In particular, movie comedies. Okay. So Fuck, Kill, Marry. You fuck one, kill one, marry one. Here we go. We got Big Lebowski, Pineapple Express, and Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Go.
God. Oh, man. All three of those are money.
Fucking bangers, right?
Yeah.
I'd fuck all of them, first of all.
Yeah, I mean, I put my dick in something dead. So I'm going to get it out of the way, and I'm going to say actually kill the Big Lebowski. Now, I know that's going to sound crazy, but let me explain why. I'm gonna kill the Big Lebowski because I've seen it the most, so it is in my brain. And if any of those movies has like a cult following that can get kind of annoying about it, it's gonna be the Big Lebowski.
Okay.
Now, I would say I would fuck Pineapple Express because it starts off good, just like, you know, sex.
What do you mean it's dead?
Actually, sex does end pretty great. But Pineapple Express kind of falls off for me. It's still great. Still love it. Chicken fingers! And then I would marry Forgetting Sarah Marshall because you're looking at two goddesses.
That's a funny thing, actually. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry,
no,
go ahead.
Yeah, you look at two goddesses, Mila Kunis, Kristen Bell. And
that's actually one category that we don't agree on. I take Kristen Bell over Mila Kunis all day.
Yeah, I mean, it's the matter of, it's like a chick asking where you want to come. Like, you're happy either way, but, you know, you might have a preference. But
I like that.
It's also just such a, not to, you know, sound all heartwarming and shit. It's a down-to-earth thing. I've been through a breakup. I get it. But I also think there's things in there that are just so, like, I think of all those movies, that's the movie that you can quote. And, you know, you and I always do it to each other and catch it. But, like, your boys and a couple people who are, like, on the ball are going to know. And other people are going to be like, what? But you're not coming across as, like, a douchebag by being like, it's the Big Lebowski.
Right. No, you know, I get that. I respect that.
That's my picks, man. What about you?
Man, you know, we're very similar. We're marrying the same bitch for sure. There's something so relatable about Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Like you said, it's very quotable.
Hey, real quick to pause you. I'm sorry. We just talked about Bert Kreischer. I'm watching the Red Wings first game of the season, and they just showed an ad at a Kings game with him and his shirt off on the glass cheering.
Look, yeah, he's got his persona, man. He owns it. Like, he knows what he knows what he is. He knows what he is.
But who you're going to fuck?
All right, so I'm fucking Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Very relatable, like you said. I mean, like, even today, I related, like, one of the quotes from that, like, I see a psychiatrist, I don't want to. And it was with someone completely, like, random, man. And it's so funny, and, like, we were both so stoked, but, like, that just goes to show you the power of movies and Forgetting Sarah Marshall. And I'm not a moviegoer. Let me just point that out. I don't know movies to save my life. You talk movies all day, and I'm like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Forgetting Sarah Marshall, great. I'm marrying that bitch. The only thing we're different about is I'm fucking the Big Lebowski. Let's talk about Tara Reid for a minute, huh? Come on. You know what I mean? She's real, real sexy in that movie, and that was like a very 90s-ass movie, and that was like her prime. No doubt about it. Man, there's something about the Big Lebowski that's just so comforting. You and I actually did, like, before we got into podcasting, we did our first, I would call it a podcast. It was more of a vlog, our fantasy vlog.
For those of you who aren't in our fantasy league, we used to do a show every week, pretty much just because we're very vain and wanted ourselves on camera. But we would just talk about stuff for the week coming up in fantasy matchups and stuff.
We would call it the Ugly Show, and that's because our league is called the Ugly Fantasy Football League. Anyways, there was one episode where we dressed up in robes and we were drinking White Russians, and it was very dude-esque. Like, we even came out, to a to the theme song. I wouldn't say the theme song, but like the intro to the Big Lebowski. I'm saying it right. Sorry, I've been drinking. But yeah, the Big Lebowski, great movie. I would fuck the shit out of it. And unfortunately, I would kill Pineapple Express as much as I fucking love that movie. It was so influential to me, which is so weird to say. But I mean, like, when that movie came out, I was probably at the peak of my stoner age. And I remember going and seeing that in theaters. We drove there in a van. We were fucking hotboxing that bitch all the way there. I was so high watching that movie, and it still clicked with me, which is crazy. It just goes to show, though. I mean, like, honestly, I feel like that duo and Franco and
Rogan.
And Rogan, man, they are just so good together. You can feel their legitimate like relationship on the screen. But I mean, like I compare it to like Superbad, man, which is another fucking amazing movie from
that
same era.
Yeah, but that's getting out of the weeds from the game on the three choices. I'll say this about Pineapple Express, man. Danny McBride to me is the real star of that shit. The
motherfucking scholarship up in here. Yo, yeah. He was good. He was good.
That
bald face and all.
Makes me more aerodynamic when I fight. Dude, okay. Uh-huh. So I don't need to keep bringing it back to Bert Kreischer, but you mentioned Tara Reid. Tara Reid in her prime, Ryan Reynolds. Who was Van Wilder written about? Bert Kreischer.
Whatever, dude. That's a topic for a different day.
I know, but I'm just saying that's pretty wild.
That is pretty wilder.
So we just talked about fantasy football. And we're not going to get into stuff for those of you who don't listen, but we are going to do what we call a best of draft.
No, we're not. See, here's the thing about beards and beers is we don't give a shit what you think. We're going to talk about what we talk about. And if you don't relate on it, then that sucks. You know what I mean?
Skip ahead 30 seconds. You'll catch up.
Exactly.
So I guess what I'm saying, though, is we're going to do a best of draft. If you haven't listened to us before, we take turns drafting on a topic and discussing it, and then we do an honorable mention and just kind of shoot the shit. So today we're going to talk about the best parts of playing fantasy football.
Fucking A, week five already. It's crazy.
So we're going to do four apiece, snake draft style, and I will start. All right. The best thing about playing fantasy football is that feeling when you catch a highlight when watching a game from some bullshit game, you know, the Jets versus Tennessee or something like that, and a player that you just had to put in that week went off for an 80-yard touchdown, and you would have been happy for 5 points, but now you got 15. That feeling, and then looking at your projection go up a ton, and you thinking you're going to win, oh, man, that's like that feeling is like when you catch your chick putting on the sexy panties, you know, before you go to dinner, knowing there might be some plans later. It's up there for good feelings.
Fucking A, and it's so relatable, the scenario you threw out there, the Jets and the Titans, because like I'm not gonna get too deep into it, but I drafted Derrick Henry, and it's like, you know, what's gonna happen? I don't know. I drafted him pretty early, but that was probably an exact scenario, and we're into week five. That's been
not
a weekly thing for me
to watch, even with.
Never. I don't give a shit about the Titans. Is anybody?
Denzel Washington.
Fuck that guy. No one cares about the Titans. And so to be able to be in a situation where I could give a shit about something I normally wouldn't, God bless fantasy football. I didn't mean to do that twang, but it just came out that way. God bless it.
All right. So you got the next two picks.
All right, the snake draft. I like it. I'm very so what was the thing about this again? What we love about fantasy football.
Yeah, the best parts of playing fantasy football.
I think one of the best parts is and I'll get real sentimental here, is like connecting with people you normally don't.
That's a mature answer.
We've got a real set. I mean, like in your adulthood, you got this set group of people that you kind of, you know, affiliate with on a daily basis, maybe on a weekly basis. You lose connection over time, folks. I mean, if you're younger than 18 years old, I promise whoever your best friend is, it's not going to be your best friend much longer. That's life. You move on, but the cool part about fantasy football is, like, you know, I can go months without talking to a set group of guys, and then as soon as we kick into the fantasy football draft and we start doing our thing, it's like we never skipped a beat. It's like reacquainting with people that you love and you genuinely care about, and it's so much fun, and you gain new relationships, and you meet new people. I mean, I've met some people I honestly would have never thought twice about connecting with through something so simple as fantasy football, and I love that aspect of it.
It's totally true. When we started playing, there was a kid a few years younger than us who was bagging groceries, and we didn't like him. We even called him the wrong name on purpose. And now we call him the wrong name as like a term of endearment from that memory. And we enjoy seeing him, you know, the once a year and shit. So that was a good one, man.
The dude passed out on my couch last year at our fantasy draft, and I woke up the next morning. He's there, the same kid, and he is. He's one of our guys, and he will probably be a ride or die, man. I mean, like, we're in a league, honestly, that will go until one of us dies for sure. But I mean, like, you get a good group of people in there, man, and it's so cool. It's so cool just to reacquaint, and I love that part of fantasy football. So got real serious there. Yeah. So snake draft, back to me. I'm super stoked about the fact that I'm 4-0. Really, really happy that I'm undefeated. I have never done that before. I'm pretty excited about it. I'm pretty sure I'm going to go 5-0 after this week. You and I just so happen to be going against each other. You want to tell the crowd what you did? Hold on. Let me pop this real quick. This is actually a beer for Beards and Beers. Cheers to the Bush Latte. Go ahead.
So, all right. I removed all my players from my lineup and put them on my bench, hoping that you would overthink it and panic and maybe play a boomer bust type player instead of a normal guy, thinking that I had some strategy or something I was going to do.
I don't believe that whatsoever. Win. I don't believe that whatsoever.
That's why I did it. Now that's why I took everyone out of my bench put him on my bench. Obviously I had to do that for a reason. And that's why I did it.
You guys hear that? He took every single player off of his main roster. Okay. And he put them all on his bench, which meant nobody was playing. And he did that on a Thursday night. And what's on Thursday night, folks? Football. Football's on Thursday night. Continue.
So, my job was mentally wearing me out. I've recently quit it. Unemployed. And I forgot it was Thursday. I thought it was Wednesday. And I forgot to set a guy who I can count on for 10 to 20 points in my lineup. I was already going to have a tough matchup. And
it was Chris Carson, guys. It was Chris Carson, the starting RB in Seattle against a shitty Rams. No, they're not shitty, but a very, like, declining Rams team.
So, yeah, I done fucked up.
I think what you did was you were trying to make it funny. You put them all on your bench. You got a picture out of it. You're like, here's my strategy, and then you just fucking forgot. So I believe half of your story, because there's no way in fuck I was going to look at your team not having anyone there and be like, oh no, I'm going to double guess my team.
I thought you might. I really did. I thought you might be like, oh, you know, I'm going to go with maybe like this guy who, you know, he could get 2 touchdowns
and
for nothing.
4-0. I'm super stoked about it. That is my second best thing about fantasy football. This year, you're up.
All right, so my second pick is the shit talking. The show The League really brought to light the camaraderie and just masculinity, bullshit, internet troll, be terrible to each other, but in a friendly, approved, socially way, and I love it. Facebook this year, I did mocking videos of everybody where I made fun of like their odd attributes. We say the most terrible things to each other, and I love the shit talking of it. It's the second best thing in fantasy football to me.
I love that. All right, snake draft. What else you got?
The armchair GM. I love making my team, sending out trades, drafting my team. I love that feeling of like, this is the guy that's going to get the job done. This is my fucking player. This is my guy. I drafted him. I knew he's going to be good. Choosing waiver players, things like that. All the stuff that we do as fans from our, you know, armchair couches of like, well, you know, if we just got a better O-line, like, you're getting rid of the shit positions, the kicker. Well, we still play with the kicker, the punter, the long snapper, the O-line. Yeah, they affect things, but you're not choosing them. It's skill players only, and it's fun. And you get to blame them forever and always have a bad relationship in your head with a stranger.
Yeah, that's true. That's good. I like that. That was good. That was good.
All right.
All right. My go. But that was your, that was it, right, for you?
No, that was three for me. I'll have one more after your two.
All right, so this is going to be it for me. All right, so my next two are going to be very suggestive. So if you play fantasy football, listen up. Here's what I love about my league in particular. We do weekly payouts. I think that's so much fun. We do a weekly payout for teams that get the most points. So even though if you're a piece of shit halfway through and you're like, I know I'm not going to make the playoffs, fuck that. I'm going to make some of my money back, $10 a week. I mean, given most on average, I feel like leagues, a good leagues, $80 to $100 buy-in. Okay, so $10 every week, getting that back. There's the shirt. There it goes, guys. You can't see what I see, but Nathan just took his shirt off. But you figure, right, you're getting $10 every week for most points. That makes it so appealing, right? You want to play the best player. And you want to obviously win each matchup, but it makes you play for more. I love that aspect to it. So if you don't do payouts weekly, you don't necessarily have to do most points. You can do whatever the fuck you want, but it makes it fun.
It keeps people from tanking too, which I think is important. That way you don't have a quote unquote taco.
Yeah. In addition to that too, I mean, like
we still have a taco, but
we have a major taco.
Straight up burrito.
Oh fuck. So
we should start calling Stan Burrito.
And burrito.
Figures out why.
Yeah. No, I dig it. That's his new name. But like another thing that we do too, and this isn't like my fourth one, but another thing we do too is we actually pay out for the toilet bowl. So you've got your fantasy playoffs, right? Your top 4 to 6 go to the playoffs, and they've got the championship.
For those of you that go, we keep playing, dude. Some leagues, when the playoffs start, if you're not in it, you're just done.
And what's the point of that? They stop playing. Like their year's done. Give them something to fight for. So what we do in our league. $100 buy-in. If you're in the fucking toilet bowl, your team's a piece of shit. Guess what? You can still fight for $50. That's half your investment coming back to you. Not to mention, you could still win most points on the week. What's the fantasy playoffs? Is that 2 weeks?
Yeah, 2 or 3, depending on the league.
Regardless, okay. Let's say you win most points those 2 weeks. That's $20 plus your $50. That's $70. Hey, there, you only lost $30 as opposed to $100. I mean, guys, I'm not telling you how to do your leagues, but let's go. That makes me excited about my league, so that's my number three. Number four, get yourself a trophy. Get yourself a title belt. Get yourself something to fucking put on your mantle, because that's what I look forward to. Here I sit, 4-0, y'all. I'm already trying to think about what that fucking title's going to look like on my mantle. I am looking forward to that vanity. And that's right, guys, we have a vanity. She's a beautiful lady sitting up on this fucking this pedestal. She is so beautiful. And guess what she's named after, Nathan? You know who she's named after? She's named after our buddy Gator. Our buddy Gator, his sister just so happened to be a stripper. She was an exotic dancer. She threw down on that stage, and she looked good doing it. And guess what she came out as? Vanity coming to that stage, and that's what we named our title after. So, everybody, I am going for that vanity title this year. Get yourself a title. Get yourself a trophy. I'm going to look real good on that trophy. Let's go.
All right. So, my little celebration for those of you who either heard my man titties flapping in the microphone, or if we do end up putting this on YouTube, is watching the Red Wings first game, and one of each forward of our top line, Tyler Bertuzzi, Anthony Mantha, and Dylan Larkin, have all scored, and we're up 3-2 with 15 minutes left in the third. So that was my little excitement. And I also love, because that was one of my honorable mentions, is our trophy. So I'm glad you brought that up.
It's a beautiful trophy. You broke it this year.
I fixed it. I also designed it. So it's kind of like Frankenstein's monster.
You designed it. You went to a fucking website and chose a fucking... That's so fucking stupid. Don't say you designed it. You didn't design it. Somebody gave you a fucking layout and you picked it. Shut up. That's like saying I drew this picture when you actually colored in the lines of a coloring book.
Well, you colored it then. You didn't draw it. That's just poor English. Anyway.
All
right. So the final pick, the draft. The draft is the best day of the year, okay? It's tied with Christmas. It really is.
It is. You remember that year, last year, whenever I danced around my hotel room naked as fuck to The Most Wonderful Time of the Year by Bing fucking Crosby? That was right before our draft.
It's so much fun. You're picking players. You've been planning for weeks. You've been listening to all the shit. You're hoping to get your favorites. You're seeing guys you haven't seen in 400 or 300 some odd days.
Goes back to what I said. One of my favorites, right? Connecting with those people. Hell yeah. Continue on.
Yeah, you're doing that, dude. We've started to do the live draft. It's so much better because you're taking stickers and shit. Fuck, we just gave up the lead. And it's just so much fun. It's so great. If you're not doing a live draft, get your life together.
Yeah, live drafts definitely are a game changer, folks. I mean, we're not telling you how to do your league, but we're telling you how to do it right. Do yourself a live draft, man. I mean, it's a lot of fun. And if you're looking to get into a league, I mean, shoot me or Nathan a DM because we've got a ride or die type league, but we got about four guys that are lingering, right? Like that maybe will be there, maybe won't be there. So just throw us a DM, slide into those. Chances are you might be getting into it. Maybe not next year, but one of these years you'll get into this. And trust me, this is a league you want to get into. We know what we're doing.
Yeah. Also, if you're looking for somebody to join your league, either of us is usually pretty open.
I joined too many. I joined way too many this year. I'm starting to fucking dial back. I realize what I care about because for example, like a lot of people can do like 10 leagues. This year I did 3 serious leagues. And the one I care about the most, I'm 4-0. This one, the one I care about second best, I'm 2-2. And then the one I don't care about, I'm 1-3. So it just kind of just like consolates how I fucking my standings will literally revolve on how I care about it. I might just focus on our league 100%.
I get that. I'm always down to gamble more. I have a problem with it. All right, honorable mentions. What do you got?
4.
Best of draft. Any we missed? The only other one I had was naming a trophy after your buddy's stripper sister. So
hey, I got that one. No, I think we covered it all. That was a lot of fantasy football talk, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate. I hope a lot of the guys in our league are listening to this and realize how fortunate you are, because there's not a lot of leagues like this one. I'm in multiple leagues, and I've never been in a league like the one that we're in. And if you don't feel that way about your fantasy league, reevaluate it. Start over. Or just quit.
Word. So next week, best of draft, we're going to do the best things of the month of October. All right?
Fucking beautiful, baby. Yes. We're coming in the spooky season.
Yeah, so that's next week, best of October. All right. So you want to hear some embarrassing shit, literally? All right,
bring it on. You texted me the story about, was it yesterday?
Yeah.
I'm super excited. I told you had to put this on the podcast. For those of you that start new jobs, you understand that there's some things that go into it. Might be a background check. In this case, it's a piss test. Take her away, bud.
All right. So first off, our buddy Gator a few years back went to take a drug test and had to shit. And we gave him so much hell. Oh, you got the nervous poops. You got that new deli belly. You eat Indian food. We just were terrible to him because that's what you do when you have a friend who's an amphibian. Well, I killed a bottle of sangria the night before.
Sangria. Sangria is not a thing. Sangria.
Really? Anyway.
There's not 2 A's in sangria.
English is my first language.
There is. There's not 3 A's in sangria. Continue.
So the sugar got to me the next morning. I'm killing coffee to make sure I have to pee. Well, ladies, you might not feel this way because your genitalia and your butt might not be as connected as it is for a man, surprisingly. Well, as a man, when you try to push a pee, you usually fart. That's why so many dudes fart at the urinal. Well, when you have to shit, it tries to release. So I walk in. And I try to push, and I feel just a little bit of wetness on my pooper. And I just flush with embarrassment. My face, because you can't flush the toilet. So I go out, and I put my head down, and I tell the lady, I'm like, I am so sorry, but I really have to poop. And while I'm trying to pee, my body's saying, nope, this has to happen too. Can I go to the other restroom and poop quick and come back and pee? Like, I'll pinch it off, or I will reschedule. She went from nice and, oh, don't be mad about my job, hee hee hee, it's gross, to like, way to ruin my fucking day. Doesn't say anything to me to like make me feel better, like it's okay, it happens, don't be embarrassed, nothing. So I go in and I'm spraying this thing. I got like the soft coffee shits. I'm so embarrassed. She's outside the door, so I know she's hearing it. I'm gross. Cupping the cup on my testicles and wiener.
Cupping like, the cup.
Trying to pee as well, but also not let any shit splash up at it so she doesn't see any brown. And it's been maybe 180 seconds. That's a minute and a half. No, 2 minutes, whatever it was, like 2 minutes. And all of a sudden I hear, if it's over 3 minutes, it's canceled. God damn it. And like I try wiping real quick because I'm like not trying to stain my undies. And I leave and I'm like, I can't flush. It's so embarrassing. I come out and I'm like, I'm so sorry. I barely still peed enough because I was pissing out my ass. And I'm apologizing. And this lady is just, wash your hands there. Sign here. And I'm just like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so embarrassed. I'm sorry. And then it's across the fucking hallway. And I'm looking over and I'm like, there's just all my shit sitting in this toilet across the hallway. If anyone walks by, they're going to be like, well, someone died. And I'm so embarrassed.
Gross.
Like, can I flush that? I'm so sorry. It's like, no, I have to flush it. And at no point is there any little bit of compassion for me from this lady. None. No.
Why
sense
would
of...
she? I wouldn't either. It's like changing a diaper.
But you know how it is, dude. If you shit, you have to piss. And sometimes when you go to piss, like, your body's like, whoa, there's more to this.
I can semi-agree with you. You're a little older than me, so maybe your bowels are going a little bit crazier than mine. But yeah, you know, you're looking for a little bit of support. I understand that. Maybe don't shit during a piss test is the moral of the story.
That is very much the moral of the story. So, but the plus side is this wet butthole story reminded me of another wet butthole story. So I got two stories today.
Oh, God. Aren't we blessed?
So a couple years ago, I'm banging this chick from behind. And she says to me, spit on my asshole.
All right.
I freeze up. Do you want me to give you a loogie? Like, do I snot rocket on your brown eye? What the fuck? Do I pull a big daddy and do the drippy drip and just try to, like, maneuver it down there? I didn't know what to do. So I spit like a two-year-old. Like a fucking sprinkler system.
Fucking A.
Just shooting kind of on her booty. She More looks consistent. Back at me and straight says, aren't you a little dirty garden hose? The fuck?
Who is this? I need to meet her. I need to talk to her. We need to bring her on the show.
So, I mean, no could be wrong. I finished. But this is the same girl that asked me to fish hook her why she called me Mein Fuhrer. So, like, it was a really unhealthy, odd situation.
I appreciate that. Yeah. You should have married her. Did you?
No.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I think she's living in, like, legitimately in Australia or something now. But
she likes it down under, you know what I'm saying?
She probably likes all those koalas having chlamydia.
Oh, that's true. That could be true, too. That's not a very far stretch. I like that. Very good. Appreciate that story. Very open here. You know, not many people can just talk openly about their booty holes, and you were just all about that. So I appreciate that, boss. That was good.
Yeah, out here trying to live my best life, so... That's all I got today. What about you? Anything else
going on? That's all I got, too, man. Not bad for a first epi. We got these coming out, hopefully weekly. I say hopefully because we got a...
I'm going to go into MSN because that's a news site. And the second story that comes up, I'll read it, and we'll see what we think of it.
All right.
Botham Jean's neighbor who testified in Gugger trial fatally shot. Okay, what? We're not gonna do that, dude. The news is depressing.
You see
whatever.
What you just did? You just brought down the fucking vibe. We're having a good time, and you're just pulling up the news. No one talks about the news. They don't come here to talk about the news. They come here to talk about fantasy football and poop shit.
I was thinking like current events or something. I'm like, oh, that's a good idea. We'll come on here and it'll be like, hey, guess what? J-Lo's still a fucking rocket at 50. Wrong.
She sure is. But you know what? The world is a sick, awful place. And that's why people turn to podcasts such as this. And you can tell your friends that this is the place to come to, because we're never going to go down that dark ass rabbit hole that is the world. We live amongst it. We will tell you a bunch of things about it, but never get too deep about it. What else you got? Anything else? Is that it? Can we call this an epi?
Yeah.
We'll call this an epi.
Let's add a little stoat to the end of this and
fucking
go from there.
Hey, thank you guys so much for tuning in to the first official episode of Beards and Beers. We're going to be doing this more consistently. I've enjoyed myself. You enjoy yourself over there?
Oh, yeah. So all you who did listen, thank you. Appreciate it. Like, share, subscribe. Follow us on Instagram, Beers and Beards. I'm on Two Beers with Nathan on Instagram. Caleb, I believe, is Caleb Woods 92.
Nope, just Caleb Woods, straight up. I'm the only one on IG, man. Straight up, Caleb Woods. Caleb with a K, though. I'm not stupid as shit. My parents knew what they were doing. They named me Caleb with a K. K-A-L-E-B. Tell your friends, Woods like Tiger. And let's go. Let's go. Beautiful Epi. We got more coming towards you. We're excited. Tell your friends. Tell your moms.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Make good choices.
One love.